Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
These men belonged to Al-Qaeda, a group of extremists who have distorted and defiled Islam, one of the world's great religions.
To risk 100,000 American lives, and then that's not going to be enough, so you put in another 30,000, then another 30,000. Before long, you're fighting Vietnam all over again.
We've had 46 million Americans who could be here since Roe v. Wade who are not voting. And I think that, in a sense, is a Holocaust. I really do.
Whereas before I was like, do not give me a lecture on how to live my life when I know I'm a pretty decent human being. They go, I'm a good Christian and I go to church and this is the way you should live your life. But I now have faith in those who say they represent a faith. Wow, I finally met someone who practices but doesn't preach.
Now I know most of us don't think along these lines when we start to hear wedding bells ring and we're falling in love, we get engaged. This was furthest from my mind when I was a young man, 22, now almost 23 years ago, courting my wife, thinking about marriage. I didn't have anything. I could fit all my worldly possessions in the back of my little Subaru station wagon. And if she would have said, let's think about a prenuptial agreement, I would have said, well, I guess for what it's worth, it's hardly even worth the trip to the lawyer. Now, there are those who marry, and they've already got property and things like that. A prenup seems like a reasonable thing if you've got a lot going in. We're going to be talking about prenuptial agreements here in the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first segment talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse about those prenuptial agreements. Then we'll discuss traditional versus progressive education. Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn will be our guest. And we'll conclude today's program talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell about the sexting suicides. We are coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 10th of December. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. And she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Todd.
I can hear someone arguing that prenuptial agreements might actually reduce the divorce rate. I mean, if there's a financial incentive to stay together, or maybe just to stay together a little longer, and if, you know, that's what it takes, maybe a prenuptial agreement isn't such a bad idea. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, the typical prenuptial agreement isn't written like that. I think Tiger Woods and his bride are a little bit unusual in having something written in there. You know, you get a bonus if you stay around longer. That's kind of a new one on me. But I think you put your finger on it in your intro there, in your lead up a little bit, which is that people are not getting married with no possessions and a beat up old Subaru. People are waiting until they have significant possessions and significant assets in life before they get married. So instead of marriage being something that launches you into life, marriage is sort of like the capstone of life. It's like, okay, now I have all the pieces in place. Now at last I can afford to get married. And so if you go into it with that attitude, well then, yeah, it's not so surprising that people are saying, we better make some kind of provision so that I make sure that you're not being a gold digger towards me. And that, as you rightly point out, you know, just changes the makes marriage into something more calculating and less spontaneous.
Well, I mean, now you have, you mentioned Tiger Woods, you've got Tiger Woods and his wife Ellen renegotiating the prenup. I guess that's not technically a prenup anymore, but renegotiating the contract here that they made prenuptially. And he seems to want to save money by asking her to stay, and he's willing to spend more now to keep her from leaving now and taking even more from him. I guess, you know, I think, golly, Jen, if I had that kind of money and that much to lose, I might bring a lawyer into it too. But it seems so cynical to say, all right, I'll pay you $80 million now to stay for another 7 years.
Yeah, yeah, it is cynical. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, if there was that much money at stake, you'd think he could have kept his fly zipped a little bit longer, too. That's the other part of the equation. So, you know, it's possible that these agreements could change people's calculus of how to behave. But I just want to point something else out to your listeners, and this negotiating that you're seeing, this making of marriage into a contract where money is exchanged as part of the deal, that is a return to barbarism. I just want your listeners to know that the Christian Church put a stop to that kind of thing. In ancient times, one of the most common scenarios that you see is marriage being something that is controlled by the tribe and by the family, and the individuals involved in it don't have that much to say about it. And so the parents are negotiating a deal that doesn't have that much to do with whether the people love each other or whether the people are really spontaneously in any way giving themselves to one another. There's no sacramental understanding of marriage, for instance, until Christianity emerges, obviously. And so one of the things Christianity did was to put a stop to the parents negotiating against the children's will about what was going to happen. And Christianity introduced the idea that marriage had something to do with the two individuals binding their lives together for regardless of the costs, right? Without any calculation. You're supposed to give up all that calculation. So you move from this kind of primitive system that is kind of barter amongst the families to a system that puts the individuals more centrally in the situation, the individuals and their consent. That becomes the central feature of the thing, and that becomes a sacrament. That becomes something that is a sign of the love of God for his church. And so to see people returning to this idea that, you know, that marriage is simply a financial deal, that is a barbarous development. And don't let anybody tell you that it's only in the 20th century that people figured out that marriage and love had something to do with one another. People have known that all along. And it was Christianity that put the consent of the parties front and center, that if you were not allowed to marry somebody off against their will. That's Christianity put a stop to that. And people need to respect what the church did and realize that what looks like something modern and contractual and highly individualistic, because it's just about Tiger and Ellen, it's not about their clan, it nonetheless has this feature of being barbarous and of being a return to barbarism and a removal of the whole sacramental element of marriage.
Jen, someone listening to us at this point is certainly saying, I just don't get it. If marriage isn't a contract, what is it?
Well, it's a sacrament. You know, I we can talk. You're a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. We're allowed to say sacrament on this program, are we?
Absolutely. We do it all the time.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm on the right show here today. That's what it's about. It's not about simply an exchange between my husband and I, although there are many exchanges between my husband and I. It's also about the mutual self-giving, self-donation of myself to my husband to me, and Christ is wrapped up in that whole thing. And that exchange of persons, that gift of self, is meant to be an outward sign of the ultimate wedding feast of the Lamb. That's what it's supposed to be. And so, people who say, well, we're going to take theology out of marriage and how dare you impose your religion on us, hey, I'm not imposing anything on anybody. I'm offering an alternative view of what marriage is and saying to the world at large, look over here. You can have Tiger Woods and a crass prenuptial bargain that continues to be a bargain throughout the life of the marriage, or you can have this theologically rich understanding of marriage as a lifelong covenant between two people that is divinely protected, that is divinely inspired, and that has literally cosmic implications, you know, literally. So what do you want, individual truck driver listening to me as you're driving down the road? What do you want? Do you want the Tiger Woods financial model, or do you want Christ and his bride model? You must choose. Every individual gets to choose that. We're not imposing anything. We are offering what I think is a far more appealing package and a far more appealing view of what marriage is really all about.
Bottom line, with about 30 seconds here, from a cultural perspective, what is wrong with prenuptial agreements?
The prenuptial agreement is predicated on the idea that you're going to, number one, withhold yourself throughout the life of the relationship. It undermines the whole spirit of self-giving with abandon, and that's what marriage is supposed to be all about. And so, by doing that, it really does increase the probability of the marriage or the relationship fracturing. No matter how carefully they orchestrate the incentives in the prenuptial agreement, the whole approach is completely at odds with the self-giving that really needs to be at the heart of lifelong married love.
Jennifer Roback Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's authored the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. You can check out the website for the Ruth Institute tonight. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click listen, and go to the on-demand page. Look for the Ruth Institute. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk education. Two different, very different models of education. One of them, you might think, doesn't even exist anymore. But we will talk traditional education versus what's called progressive education. Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn will be our guest. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled Dewey's Copernican Revolution. That's after the break. You know, to me, and I just try to view this from a basic common sense standpoint, to me, a prenuptial agreement in some ways is like declaring the marriage a failure even before it begins. It is two people looking square in the eye at one another with the intent to marry, saying, but when we divorce, what's our arrangement going to be? That's called declaring failure before you even get started. We'll be right back. Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is the Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.